Seriously looking forward to the sun setting just a wee bit more and just the coolness of the evening coming out. And I know that you guys have some all guys and all girls nights out, so it's going to be a good one to be outside and hanging out. So I know everybody is looking forward to that. To get us started this evening, I want you to think of this guy named Sisyphus. Who knows Sisyphus? Anybody? One. Nobody. Wow, really? They don't teach like Greek mythology anymore? It's probably for the better, all right? It's probably a good thing. All right, so there's this guy named Sisyphus, and he did something bad. I have absolutely no idea what the bad thing is. I don't have a great memory of Greek mythology anyway. So there's this guy named Sisyphus, and he does something bad, and Zeus is like, all right, dude, you're going to have to live forever doing this one task. And what's the one task he has? Well, he has this big, giant boulder, okay, that he is told he needs to push up this hill. It's not like he said down the hill. That would have been nice, like, just get it started, and it's going to go. Not even flat land where it would have been like, okay, you can get a little momentum. No, this is up a hill where it's constant energy, constant work for nothing but eternity. There is a top of the hill, though, but here's the unfortunate part. Every single time he gets to the top of the hill, he has to let it roll back down and do it again. And this is Sisyphus's eternal torment that he has to go through. Can you imagine living such a purposeless life? Can you imagine? Like every single day, I feel like I'm pushing a rock up a hill, and as soon as I get it up to the hill, I go to bed, I wake up, and the rock's at the bottom of the hill, and I gotta do it all over again. Brutal. Purpose is important. A lot of studies have shown just the value of having some sort of purpose and feeling some sort of purpose in what you're doing. It gives us the energy and the enthusiasm to be able to do it and do it well. I feel like sometimes we lose that sense of purpose, though. I think of Peter, right? Peter, he's fishing, right? This is what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to provide fish for all of the people in Galilee, right? So he's doing his thing, and he's up all night trying to get these fish, and he's getting nothing. Can you imagine just the stress of that moment? I have one job, this is my purpose, and I can't even do my purpose. And then what happens? Jesus comes in, and he gives him an incredibly important purpose. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And so Peter's life goes to frustrating, kind of almost feeling a little purposeless, right? Can't even do the one thing I'm supposed to. To now he has this thing that he's living for. There's this Messiah who's going to take this kingdom, right, and return it to what it's supposed to be, this kingdom that's been prophesied forever, it feels like. And Peter gets to be a part of it. This is going to be incredible. He invites his brother Andrew, and then you have James and John, right? James and John are hanging out with the weird guy in the desert named John the Baptist, right? And John the Baptist keeps telling them, I'm not the guy. And they're like, well, duh, you're sitting out here wearing like weird stuff and eating locusts. Of course you're not the guy. That's just weird. He's like, there's another guy to follow, okay? He's coming. And when he does, you're going to follow him, and he's going to set this world on fire, man, in a good way, okay? Not in a bad thing. Okay, he might do it in a bad way in a little bit, but we're not talking about that tonight. All right? But this is what's happening, right? So now all of a sudden, James and John meet Jesus, and they're like, okay, now my life has purpose again. Let's do this thing, right? Let's put this kingdom in place. Let's go, Jesus. Let's do it. Let's do it now. And so now for 3 years, they've been living this dream, right? This is going to happen. Jesus is here. He's going to set just everything the way it's supposed to be. Roman government overthrown. Israel's going to rise up. This is the time. This is our moment. This is going to happen. And then you know what Jesus does? He says, adios. I'm out. Wait, what? What were we doing the last 3 years? We've been working so hard for 3 years to make this thing happen. I was with you, right? I gave myself to you. Are you telling me that the last 3 years had zero purpose? This is the moment that we find ourselves in our scripture passage today. Jesus has just told the disciples who have been following him for 3 years, believing in him for 3 years, fully put all of their faith in him that he was going to accomplish this task for 3 years. And Jesus goes, sayonara, I'm out. I'm out. All right, so if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to John 14. Some of the context that I didn't even share yet was that as Jesus is telling them, I'm out, he predicts that Peter's even going to deny him. Man, that's tough. Not only am I leaving, but you're going to deny me. Whew, tough. But where's the purpose? Where's the purpose? Think purpose today. So I'm in John chapter 14. We're going to hammer out verses 1 through 14 today. Tomorrow morning, we'll do the rest of the chapter, I guess. So here we are. This is Jesus' first words here. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Don't you love that? Wait, you just told me that you're leaving me. And you're like, oh, it's going to be okay. Right? That's like Michael Jordan saying, okay, Bulls, go win the championship. I'm out, though. No. You can't do that. Right? You're the reason we're here. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And they're probably thinking, I have. That's why we're here. My Father's house has many rooms, he says. If that were not so, I would have told you that I'm going there to prepare you. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas, right? Again, all of these guys, their lives, they're rocked right now. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. In fact, some commentators would say this. They say if you reread that phrase, you could read it, I am the way because I'm the truth and I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. Did you catch that? Purpose. Very truly, I tell you, I'm reading again, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. What's the heart of the message today? What's the heart? what is Jesus doing? Well, he's telling them, number one, I'm going away. I'm going to the Father. Okay? This is happening. But I'm not going without purpose. Right? I'm going to the Father so that I can prepare a place for you. So there's purpose in me going there. Okay? So don't panic, right? Don't let your hearts be troubled. This thing isn't over yet. I need to go there. Eventually, you're going to come with me too. Not yet. Not yet. There are still works that the Father has prepared for you here. What an encouraging message to them in that moment. They needed to hear that. You see, this is what Jesus understood. God has a plan, and he has a purpose that he started way back in the beginning. Way back in the beginning. He created a people. Adam and Eve eventually becomes us and everybody else. He created a people who would choose to love him and to be a part of himself, right? Because the Father is loving. The Father and the Son is in unity, and then we'll talk about the Holy Spirit a little bit tomorrow. And so you have this perfection, and God says, you know what would be better? It'd be better if we could include people to choose to become a part of this perfection, but then people had the power to choose, and they didn't choose him. God knew that would happen. God knew that would happen. So he already had a plan in place. What was that plan? Well, he spoke it right there at the fall in chapter 3 of Genesis. He says, someone from the line is going to stomp on the head of Satan. It's going to happen. Yeah, he's going to have his foot struck, but man, he's going to get him. He knew that he was eventually going to send his son to redeem mankind. But mankind needed to trust him. And so what did he do? Well, he created a nation, right? The nation Israel, right? He gave that nation, he took that nation out of slavery, showed miraculous signs so that they would know what his character is like and who he is. He gave them a law, right? A law that was actually served a couple different purposes. Number one, it demonstrated the character of God. And number two, it showed us that we aren't there. We need a Savior. The law proved that. We don't have it together. We're still stuck in this sin thing. And then he sent the prophets. And the prophets continue to speak and speak and speak, saying, hey, God's coming. God's coming. He's going to do something. It's going to be wild. There's purpose in what's going on here. Believe us. Believe in the one God's going to send. And then he sent Jesus. He sent the one and only Son to redeem mankind. And then what was the purpose of the Son? What was he trying to do? Well, he went around teaching a couple things. He started by teaching about the kingdom of God coming. It's here. This is the message that got the disciples all worked up. They're like, yes, this is the purpose. This is why I'm here. This is why I'm on planet Earth, to help make this happen. I'm in. Let's do this. And that message continued. But the heart of the kingdom of God is the fact that Jesus is, in fact, the Son of God. And that message needed to get out to people. They needed to hear that the Son, Jesus, is the Father in unity, is the Holy Spirit in unity. And I know the Trinity is really hard to understand. I'm not going to try to explain it today. But he had purpose in what he was doing. And in this moment, Jesus says, okay, my purpose is about to change. Okay, well, his purpose wasn't going to change. It was just the next level. I'm going to go to my Father. Guys, how is he going to get to the Father? Think about it. He's going to go to the cross. He's going to lay down his life. I'm about to go to my Father. This is part of the plan, guys. This is going to be part of the plan. I need to die. Okay? I need to take on the sins of the world. This is part of why I was sent to planet Earth. This needs to happen. But the work isn't done. My Father's purposes are still intact, but they are being passed on from me to you. It's being passed on from me to you. You have a new purpose in what you're doing, and that is to participate in the works of the Father. These are the works the Father gave Jesus. These are the works that Jesus is passing on to us. There are works to do, and the works are the same: to proclaim the name of Jesus, proclaim the kingdom come, to convince people, to speak the truth about Jesus being the Savior of the world, and to live, be lights in the community. Because we didn't talk about that before, but we see that in Jesus. Everywhere he went, he brought life. He looked after the lowest people, so to speak. He lifted people up. And he says, I want you guys to continue in that mission. Continue in that purpose. There are works that are in place for you to accomplish. And here's the beauty of what he says here. Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. You'll continue in them. And then you will do even greater things than these. You will do even greater things than these. Now, what is he talking about? Well, what did the disciples do after Jesus ascended into heaven? They scattered, and they took the gospel all over the known world. Jesus, his primary ministry was in the Judea Galilee area. But he gave them a message, a very, very clear message, and sent them out into the world with this incredible purpose. That purpose is going to continue until all the earth knows that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so we who believe are in no way, shape, or form like Sisyphus. Everything we do, if we are in Christ Jesus, has purpose. Everything. Everything we do has purpose. When we eat, there's purpose. It's to be a part of the kingdom, to raise up the kingdom, to live out the light of the gospel, to give glory to God for what he's done. When we walk from the chapel to our place, there's purpose. There's purpose. The purpose is to be with the people beside us and be light to them. That doesn't mean we are sharing the gospel with them all the time. It's not a bad idea. But we're speaking truth, we're loving, we're sacrificing, we're growing the kingdom in this world of darkness simply by being who Christ was. And you go, how can I be like Christ? He's God, I know, but listen to what Jesus says. Listen to what Jesus says. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now, this isn't a promise that is like, okay, I want to walk on water like Peter did. Let's do it. No, 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 no. This is the promise that if you continue in the mission, if you continue to be like-minded, if you continue to desire and want to do what God has called you to do, as you're doing it, when you have a need, ask God, and he's going to give it to you. Not for yourself, which is always, I think, where we have a tendency to land on this one, right? I want more fries. No. Okay, that's not what we're praying for in this moment. but is asking that the Lord's work would continue. Ask, Lord, there's a people over here who don't know you, Jesus. Send somebody, Jesus. You know what Jesus is going to do? He's going to send somebody. That's what he just said. Ask anything in my name. I'm going to do it. You find a people group, you're talking in class, and you have geography class, and you're like, oh, here's this tribe over here that nobody's ever talked to before, and nobody's even allowed to go in to talk to them, and you're like, Jesus needs to go there. You know what? Start praying. Ask. Ask in the name of Jesus. Jesus, you gave me a purpose to be light to the world. Lord, there is no one being light to these people. Go to these people, Lord. Bring your light with you. Let them know that you are Jesus. You are God in the flesh. And you know what God's going to do? He's going to fulfill that purpose. A little warning, God's timing is not our timing. Your prayer may not be answered for a few years, decades, centuries, but God's promise is still true. It's going to happen. It's absolutely going to happen because your heart is being united with the Father's heart, and this is the desire of the Father that all should know him. That all should know him. Lord, may we pray more frequently for your kingdom to come as you have asked us to do. Guys, there's such a huge story. We're in a culture right now that scares me a little bit for you guys because it is so easy to spend your life being entertained. It's so easy to spend your entire life getting entertained. I've heard stories of people who are living in places like Iran, right? And they come to the United States and they're like, oh, I bet they're gonna love it here. And they're like, I can't live here, it's too distracting. There's always something going on, there's so much entertainment. I can't even focus on Jesus when I'm here. I'd rather be where there's persecution happening. This is where we live. Aren't there distractions? Right? If you want a distraction, how hard do you have to work? Well, hopefully at camp you have to work a little bit harder because you don't have your phones, right? But outside of that, like, it's constant entertainment. It's constant push, 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 push to just sit here and please yourself. But ladies and gentlemen, this is good news. There is a purpose way bigger than you that you are invited to be a part of. There's a huge purpose in God's plan that he wants you to take part in. He has a work set aside for each of us to accomplish. We just have to join in with him. We have to believe this is true and walk forward in faith saying, Lord, I want to be a part of your purpose in bringing your kingdom to earth, because earth isn't that great right now. Man, how much greater would it be if your kingdom was here? Lord, do that. Use me. It doesn't matter what skills you had. We already talked about that, right? We already talked about that. God has a tendency to use the weak. That's good news for me. I don't know if it's good for you. God wants to use you. I want you to go to a verse, Ephesians. I know I'm skipping Galatians. Sorry about that back there. I want to go to Ephesians. I just love this because right after Paul says that we experience salvation, we're entered into the kingdom of God by grace, what a gift, through faith, he then lays out the next step, I think, which is to be a part of the plan that God has been acting out ever since the fall, probably before then. To be a part of the plan, to redeem mankind. To redeem mankind. Be willing. Be willing. Make everything that you do, everything that you do, to the praise of the Son. And you'll start living out the purpose that God has for you. Doesn't matter which college you'll end up going to, God will use you there because you're living for him. All you got to do is ask. your work, you'll probably land where you're supposed to land with your job. But why do you have that job? Not just to push the stone up the hill, but to proclaim Christ in that workplace. You're going to end up with a spouse, kids. Every day's meaningless. I'm just changing diapers all the time. I'm just watching my wife change diapers all the time. Don't be that guy. No. There is extraordinary purpose in that. That is where discipleship happens, in the home with your kids. There is purpose now in everything we do. That's a good life. That's a good life where you can look back at the end of your life and say, Lord, you used me to build your kingdom. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. I didn't spend my whole life living for me. I didn't spend my whole life waiting for me. I'm going to share to close just just a little story that is incredibly profound. And I know you guys are young, so you don't think about this. But there is a really famous sermon by this guy named John Piper. Anybody heard about John Piper before? Yeah, he's cool, even though he's way older than me. And I laugh every time I see him, and it's mean because he's got that little hair comb over. And when he gets excited, he starts bouncing up and down, a little bit of wave, and it's going crazy. Yeah, I know. I can't listen to him because I'm just staring at his hair. So I just read. But he had this sermon called Don't Waste Your Life. And he had such an incredible story. He said he was listening to a couple different stories of people in their retirement. And one was they retired early. They worked hard, you know, were lights in the workplace. They retired early. They went overseas to share the love of Christ, and they died within the first year in a car accident. And everybody in the church was like, man, that's awful. What a shame. Right? This is horrible that this happened. Then there was another couple who did about the same thing, but they went to Florida, started a seashell collection, lived out their days playing golf, collecting seashells, having a good time. And everybody in the church is like, yeah, that's the life, man. That's the life. And Piper goes, you have it backwards. The shame is the people who spent the last 20 years of their life living for themselves. Because they're going to go up to the Father who's going to say, how did you participate in my kingdom? And they're going to say, look at my seashells. Aren't they nice seashells? And what's the Father going to do? Yeah, I created those. Yeah, they're pretty nice. Good work. But then the other couple is going to come in who died tragically in a car accident. But they were taken. They were taking the gospel to the nations. They're the ones who lived life. They're the ones who experienced the best, the life that Jesus has to offer. I'm not telling you all to get into ministry at full time, but I do want you to proclaim the gospel in your lives full time. Whatever you do, whether you're eating, drinking, playing, running, jumping, working, going to school, every single thing that you do, make it for the glory of God, because we are living for something greater than ourselves. We're a part of the team. We're together on this. I challenge you to that today, to think about how you can be joining with God in his purpose for the nations. Because he has an incredible purpose and we get to be a part of it. We don't have to waste our lives pushing a stone up a hill. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you just don't leave us at salvation. I mean, salvation's good. Don't get me wrong, Lord. But then you give us purpose. You give us something to be a part of, something larger and grander than just living for myself. We have to confess that we get lost in entertaining ourselves. We do. Lord, flip that on its head. Instead of playing video games for ourselves, help us play video games for you. Be a light in the gaming community. Show us how to do that. Instead of mindlessly looking at TikTok, help us use that platform for your glory, Lord. Help us be a light to that community who needs it. We see people dying on TikTok stuff all the time. It's tragic, Lord. People in that world need to know you, Jesus. Use us. We're asking you, Lord. Use us as part of that work. We beg of you in the name of Jesus to use us to bring your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.